हिंदी ट्रांसलेशन इज गोइंग ऑन बिहाइंड, हुएवर हिंदी में जो अनुवाद है वो पीछे हो रहा है, अगर जिनको भी हिंदी में सुनना है वो पीछे जा सकते हैं. आई वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू दिस टू दिस वंडरफुल फेस्टिवल चेतना, एंड टुडे इज अ वेरी वेरी स्पेशल डे. एक्चुअली वी डिडंट प्लान इट लाइक दैट, बट इट जस्ट हैपन टू बी लाइक दैट. इट्स अ इंटरनेशनल वुमेन डे एंड आई जस्ट केम टू नो टुडे मॉर्निंग इट इज अ 100th Women's Day, and everybody is celebrating in all different ways. So we are also celebrating today like this. Women is a symbol of power, a symbol of strength, loving, caring, reassuring strength to everyone. Nowadays we are seeing that women are progressing in all the fields, each and every field they are hand to hand working with men. But one thing is sure, that we don't have to compete with their strength. We don't have to become like them. Because women are individuals and men are different individuals. Women are doing many multitasking things. Before it was just that they will do the housework, but now women are managing house, kids, and at the same time, they are sometimes CEO of the big companies, or many big doctors, or chartered accountants, or engineers, or even in defense. When in police, there are so many women. So let us see that how the topic which I have chosen, improving the landscape of our life. I was reading a book by a famous writer in US, Peter Burwash. And he has written this book mainly for the all top people in the industry, in the corporate world. But I thought maybe I can take some points for our girls. Because it's a very, very nice book, and I really thank him for giving me this opportunity to speak on that book. If I ask any one of you in this room, that just close your eyes and picturize, what is your life just now? Just close your eyes for a few seconds and just tell me that what comes in your mind the moment you think about your life. What all things are coming in your mind? If I tell you to draw a landscape of about your life, what all things come in your mind? Can someone tell me? Yes? Yes, very good. Yes, yes, yes. I want n number of things only. Yes, tell me. Whatever comes in, whatever comes you speak, here nobody is going to grade you. I want to do this, I want to do that, yes. Your house, your college, your working place, your friends, your relatives, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, so many ambitions to do, so many things which you wanted to do but you're not able to do, lot of things, right? If you take a daily routine of your right from morning to evening, as soon as we get up with so many thoughts. I have to do this, 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 this. We start making the plan. I have to go here. I have to speak to this one. Oh, I forgot to do that last night. I have to do it today. Then somehow other you are brushing your teeth, and somehow other gulp your breakfast and start running. In Bombay, everything happens by watch. Either you go in a train or a rickshaw or a bus, and somewhere you, every day it's a different day. Sometimes somebody fights with you, or somebody, you try to become friendly with someone, but nobody is looking at you. They just turn away their faces. Or sometimes you miss your train, just because of there is some stupid roads are dug on the way, and you know your rickshaw is jammed there. So many things. Somehow that you reach to your college, and your professors also are as stressed out as you. And somehow there you exchange between both of you something, and your mind is going on what will happen after the lecture, or something is registering in my mind. Or if you are a working person, your boss is as stressed out as you. So boss is also has some expectation of you, and you have some expectation, you want to finish some job. You finish that, it's lunchtime. And lunchtime again, somehow or other you are again worrying about your calories. How much you should eat, how much you should not eat. Then somehow or other gulp down something. Then leave. It's time to go home. After you finish some work or some friends or some phone calls, again the same traffic jam. Then you go home and immediately, as you have just left your friends, but immediately you remember you forgot to tell her something. So you phone and your mother says, "Are you just came back home?" But I have something very, very important to share with my friend. And you go on like that. And then some TV serials, or some shopping, or somebody wants to go to gym. And then it's night. And at the time of sleep, you remember, so many things I wanted to do, but I couldn't do. Or I'm tired, I'm bored, I'm frustrated. Or I want to enjoy more, but I have no time, I'm so busy. Right? Is all this going on in your mind every day? Right? So tell me one thing, what is the goal of life? Why are we doing everything, whatever I mentioned to you? To be happy, very good. This is the perfect answer I want. And this is the answer everybody is looking for. To be happy. Everyone wants to be happy in this world. Is there anyone in this room who doesn't want to be happy? No. Everyone wants to be happy. And what the whole day, whatever we are doing, we are trying to somehow or other find out that happiness. Trying to enjoy things here and there somehow or other so that we become happy. And who is helping us all out to do that? Medias and advertising industry. They are everything. This shampoo you use, and when you see on the road, oh, nice hair with this shampoo. I wish we start thinking, start dreaming. My hair will become like this if I use this shampoo. Oh, that soap or that perfume or that cream. I should use that. Why we think of using that? We immediately, our mind starts going in that direction. Because we are trying to find out happiness. We are thinking by doing that, we will become happy. Or when we see some serial, we start identifying ourselves with the character. And nowadays when I am traveling from Bhaktivedanta to home, on the trains, there is a serial, you know, some Sasuma. And both of them look so happy, you know. And immediately I was thinking, wow, you know, what they are posing is, that everybody should be happy like this. Everybody should get a mother-in-law like this. And there's another that the mother-in-law is combing the hair of the daughter-in-law. So you immediately start putting yourself in that character. And you identify yourself with that character. And you try to search for some happiness through that. You know, what are we trying to do is, we are trying to put ourselves in that and trying to get some happiness. So what happens is, what this advertised media or all this they do, they affect our mind, as we perfectly saw in this drama. All this bombardment, continuous bombardment, it affects our mind. And our mind controls our life. Whether we realize or not realize, whether we accept or don't accept, actually it is our mind which is controlling our life. Because mind means thoughts. As soon as you see something, the thoughts start coming. And you start believing. And then immediately there is expectation. That I should be like that. But reality is very different. And there is a big gap between expectation and reality. I remember I had heard a story. There was a taxi driver. It was the first day of his driving taxi. So he found one customer and customer was sitting at the back. And suddenly at one place where the customer had to stop, he just put his hand behind the at the shoulder of the taxi driver. And taxi driver lost all his control. He went like this, he banged near a tree. Nothing happened luckily to both of them. But the customer started asking, what happened? You know, I didn't do anything. Saying, yeah, it is not your problem, it is my problem. Saying, why, what happened? Saying, till yesterday I was driving a funeral van. So I never expected that somebody will tap me from behind. Today is the first day of driving a taxi. So he was not expecting something and reality happened something, so immediately, so much difference it happened. So similarly, there was another story of a great scholar named Panini. Panini was a grammar scholar. And he was very expert in grammar. So one day he and his students were traveling. So the students told Panini that, Guru Maharaj, you know, we should not cross this forest. Why? No, there is a big tiger there. He's saying there is a vag. There is a vyagra there. Vag there. We should not cross. and he's a man-eating tiger. Saying Vyagra. Vyagra means one who can smell perfectly. So he will come, he will smell me and he will go away. He will not do anything to me. So the students told, no, no. He comes and he eats you. He smells you also and he eats you also. No, no, no. The theory is like this. Vyagra means one who comes and smells perfectly. He cannot eat me. The grammar says like this. So the students say, okay, you can go ahead, we will not go. And he went inside the forest. And a tiger came. And he was telling, come, come, smell me. Because he was saying he will smell and he will go away. He was expecting like that. And the tiger came, he smelled and he started saying, Sharira Vidya Jal. This is a prayer we sing before eating. And he ate the tiger and he finished everything. So what was the expectation? But reality was something different. And there is another story. There was a man who was sitting under a tree. And there were some holes on the ground. So one snake came out of the hole and he bit this man and immediately went inside the hole and a rat came out from the other hole. So the man, he didn't see the snake. He saw the rat. And as soon as he saw the rat, he told, he was just trying to shoo him away. Then the rat was very agitated that why this man is doing like this. So rat beat the person and he ran inside the hole and on the other side the snake came out. And this time the rat had beat the man, but he saw the snake and he fell unconscious. So when actually the snake had beaten the man, nothing happened to him. But when the rat did, he became unconscious. Why? Who is responsible? The mind. The mind convinced him. So much our life is controlled by our mind. Whatever we do in this life, we are doing only two things. Pursuit for happiness and relief from pain. All of us are somehow or other trying to find pleasure in our life and trying to avoid pain. Pain of not looking ugly, pain of getting some disease, or pain of losing our wealth, or pain of losing somebody who is near and dear one. And there is a strong urge for pleasure. And it's a very nice story of monkeys. One day all the monkeys decided that today we will follow the vrat of Ekadashi. In Ekadashi you don't eat anything. So the whole day we will not eat anything. And all of them were sitting together. And they started thinking that in the morning only. Tomorrow morning we will break our fast with bananas. So the one monkey started telling the other one, but actually tomorrow morning you wouldn't have eaten the whole day. You would be so tired. You would not have any energy. Let's do one thing. Today we have energy because we have eaten yesterday. So let us break the bananas and keep the bananas in our hand. So okay. Then the other person, after they got the bananas in the hands, the other person said, no, let's peel the bananas and keep. Tomorrow we may not even have the strength to peel. Then the third person, anyway we have peeled, let us just keep in our mouth because tomorrow we may not even have strength to open our mouth. So they put it in the mouth. And then finally said, anyway we have put in the mouth, so might as well eat it. So what were they doing? They ate the bananas. So urge for pleasure of eating bananas and avoiding of pain of hunger. So constantly in our life, if you analyze any situation, we are trying to do this. Trying to get happiness and trying to get relief from pain. I was trying to think that what is actually, if I saw one poster where a man was holding one child and it was written down, you don't have a right to be a father if you cannot explain to your child what is the purpose of his life. And it really struck me that actually, what is the real purpose of our life? Is the purpose of our life is to become the best looking girl, or to get the handsome husband, or to get a particular post in our career, or to become a mother of 2-3 children? What is the purpose of our life? If we try to think, there are so many things there's short-term goals which come in our mind. The purpose of my life is I want to do this, I want to do that. There's another story I remember of a yogi. There was a yogi who was sitting in the mountain and he was meditating. Suddenly there was a small rat which was disturbing. So he was very disturbed. This rat is disturbing my meditation. So he thought, let me find some solution. So he got a cat. So that the cat can take care of the rat. And he again started meditating. But immediately the cats are saying, meow, meow, I'm hungry. I need milk. So okay, then he got a cow. So that the cow can give milk. Milk will be drunk by cat and cat will take care of the rat. But now there was a problem. Who will milk the cow? So okay, I need to get married and get a wife. So he got married. He got a wife. Specially to milk the cow, so that the cow can feed cat and cat can look after the rat. Now the wife said, I need house. I cannot stay with you in a mountain. Then house, how should I get the house? Then you find a job. This is an unending story. You can end the way you want. But what I am trying to explain to you is that we have made our life very, very complex. To get one thing, we enter into second thing. Then to get somehow or other to get up that second thing, we enter into third thing. And the third thing and the fourth thing, fifth thing. It is unending. And actually, we forget what is the real purpose of our life. And what happens is that even if we understand that I need to become simple, I need to change my life, we don't like to come out of our comfort zone. What is the comfort zone? It is an imaginary box which we have made, which out of which we don't dare to venture. Out of feeling of uneasiness or we think that something wrong will happen. Comfort zone is like, there are three types of people. One type of type one is they work the whole day. Type two, they dream whole day. There are people like that, right? They keep on dreaming. They don't work. And there are people who go on working. They don't do anything else. And the third type of people are who go on working and maybe 30 to 60 minutes a day they dream also. So actually, these are the third type of people who can come out of the comfort zone. Come out of the comfort zone and think that I need a break. I need to change. The technology revolution, there is so many things happening. First the letters were going by horses or pigeons. Then there was telex. Then there was post, telephone. And now emails. Fast, FedEx, everything. Technology, everything is revolution. So many things are happening. But everybody is running. Running with fast speed without any direction. Our priorities are all mixing up. Sometimes we feel I should give more priority to my parents. Sometimes we feel I should give more priority to my career. Sometimes we feel I should give more priority to my education. I should give more priority to my friends. We are all mixed up. Somewhere we have to decide that I need to change. I need to have a break. I cannot go on like this in my life. And to have that change, we need courage. Without having the courage, you cannot change. What is the real courage? Real courage is not that, as we see nowadays in the television or in the media, that as scanty clothes as you wear and you dance. That is not the real courage. Real courage is when a prisoner decides that he wants to turn around his life, I want to make a significant change in my life. Real courage is to sit with your friend or your spouse or your parents and tell them, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. That is a real courage. We are not afraid of the end result when you want to make a change. But we are afraid of the process, the struggle which we have to go through to make that change. Today I will tell you a story of a person, it's a real life story. This person, when he was leaving, he was born in America, he was born in the city of Chicago. He was a middle son of the wealthiest person in the city of Chicago. He had everything, whatever we can think of. The best parents, best education, best friends, best cars, best home, separate bedrooms, everything. When he turned 16, normally at the age of 16 in US, the children, they start working on their own. So his parents told him that get a good job, earn money, have a nice family and be happy. And what was his answer? That everybody around me is trying to do the same thing, but they are not happy. I want to go in the deeper aspect of my life. And he said, I want to travel all over the world. And I want to find out what is absolute truth, who is God, and what is the purpose of my life. And he started traveling. He reached to London, and from London, he started hitchhiking by foot. And he went to many countries. He studied many different religions. At one point of time, when he was meditating on a mountain, from within, he got a realization that he should go to India. India is a country of spiritual heritage. Somehow that he hitchhiked, he came to Nepal. He met many Babajis there. Then he came to Mithila. And Mithila, somehow that somebody told him that you are a devotee of Krishna. In Mithila, everybody is devotee of Ram. Saying, no, you are devotee of Krishna. Somehow or other, he entered India. It was not easy for him to enter India. He entered India through borders, walking. It was not easy. And after coming to India also, he met so many different varieties of sadhus. And he was asking them, what is real truth? What is, I want to find out. And he was actually going one day in a train. This is, I'm talking about 1970. And he was going in a third class compartment of a train where the shivling forms. What is the place called? Amarnath, yeah. And he got down at one place because he was very thirsty. And he was mentioning that the train is so crowded. Third class, at times especially third class, was meant for the sadhus and beggars. But people would enter through the windows. So he got out somehow through the window. A 19 years old boy of a rich American parents. He got out of the window of one station and he wanted to drink water. And as soon as he finished drinking water, he turned, he saw the train had already left. And he didn't know what to do. So he asked, which is this place? Saying, this is Mathura. And today is Janmashtami. Today is birthday of Lord Krishna. And then he stayed there. And he liked that place so much, he decided he will never leave that place. And then finally he met Swami A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And now, he is one of the GBC members and guru of International Society for Krishna Consciousness. A 16 years old boy who left the house, who had the courage to change, not go in the same way as all the society was going. He wanted to find out what is the real truth. And today, he is guiding thousands and millions of people all over the world. His life is inspiring so many others. And he is my spiritual master. His Holiness Radhananda Swami Maharaj. And there are many more like him in ISKCON who have changed their life at very young age in search of God. And they have perfected their life and they are helping so many others. If you see any successful person and if you ask him, there is one particular point in his life where he has changed his life. He changed his path. But he needed that courage. Do all of you like to see butterflies? Yeah? They are so colorful. They are so beautiful. They give us life. But do you know how a butterfly comes into existence? from a caterpillar. Is it easy for a caterpillar to become a butterfly? No. What is the stage in the middle? Cocoon. To go through that cocoon stage is very, very difficult. But if you don't go through that stage, you will not see a butterfly. So all of us, we need to make that change. The process may be a little struggleful, but still we have to have the courage to change. Now what are we talking about these changes? What changes we should do to improve the landscape of our life? Number one, I'll tell you one by one few steps. And number one is have the foundation, the basis of your foundation on truth. When you see a beautiful building, as high, suppose there are multi-story building. The multi-story building, it is standing without, against gravitational force. How is it standing? How is it standing? With very, very deep foundation. And if you see construction site, nowadays it is very common to see in Bombay. You see these construction sites, and they are, all of them are making a multi-story building, so you can see that how deep the foundation is. The deeper the foundation, stronger the building. Similarly, deeper the foundation of our life, stronger and more peaceful life. This foundation is, I am talking about, is foundation based on truth. All of you told that you want to be happy, right? Think for a second and tell me, who is trying to be happy? Who is trying to be happy? Is Nikita, Reena, Lena, Tina, who is trying to be happy? Who is looking for pleasure? Body? No. No. Go deeper. Soul. The life, if outside our, now we are sitting here, if suppose outside at the gate, a Mercedes Benz, it has an accident, what will we do? We'll take Mercedes Benz first to the garage and repair the Mercedes Benz, or we will run with the driver or the people inside to the hospital. Why? Because life is more important. If you see, if we actually calculate the value of a human body, the amount of calcium, iron, phosphorus, whatever we have, the value is 110 rupees. The value of a human body is 110 rupees. And what is the value of a Mercedes Benz? Few lakhs. Still, why are we trying to save the human being first? Because it is life. All of you have seen your pictures right from childhood. And you see, you are 1 year old, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. Does your picture look same? No, the picture looks different. The body looks different in each and every picture. But still we say, this is my picture. You are the same. Who is that person? It is the soul. In the hospital, when we see a patient who has come in ICU and he leaves his body, what do we say? So and so patient has left. Actually, the body is right in front of you. Who has left? The soul. So we have to understand that you start thinking on the platform of soul. Soul is that energy which is pervading right from the top to the bottom. It is like electricity which is running in this room. You cannot see electricity, but you can feel the presence of electricity because there is AC working, lights are working. And when all this will go off, we will say electricity has gone. Similarly, the presence, because of the presence of soul, this body grows, it has feelings, and it works. What is the nature of the soul? As the nature of the sugar is to be sweet, nature of the salt is to be salty, nature of the soul is to love and to serve. This whole world is centered around love. Anything you see, any movie, any novel, any serial, it is centered around love. Why? Because we all are looking for that love. We want to love and we want to be loved. If we work in our life with the motivation of greed, then we are limiting ourselves. But if we work with the motivation of love, that is the nature of the soul, and that is the nature of each and every person. Because it is not only you are a soul, each and every one in this room or in this universe is a soul, is a part and parcel of Krishna, part and parcel of God. And if you work on that basis, then your relationship will be very, very wonderful. Then somehow or other, if you are traveling in the train, maybe in a Virat train, and somebody stamps on your foot, what will be your reaction? If you work on the basis of spirituality, you will smile. Because you understand that the other person is also a soul, a part and parcel of Lord Krishna. So if we work on this foundation, that I am a soul, I am part and parcel of Lord Krishna, each and every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna, and nature is, my nature is to serve them, and I'll be happy by serving them. If this is the truth which we fix, this is the foundation, then our life will become much more simpler. Our expectations from others will become much more realistic. The second thing is change your attitude. I had read one story. There was a sadhu who was taking bath in Ganga. As soon as he took his bath and came out of Ganga, there was a gunda who was standing there and he spat on the sadhu. Sadhu didn't say anything. He went back in the Ganga and again he took bath. He came out, again this person spat. Like that he kept on doing, kept on doing, kept on doing. And the sadhu kept on taking bath. It happened 108 times. And afterwards the gunda became really soft. He was feeling, he was tired. There was no spit was coming. So he was very tired. And he felt very guilty that why he is doing like this. This sadhu is not speaking a single word. So when he spoke to the sadhu, he was saying, I am really sorry. You know, saying, why are you sorry? The sadhu said, because of you, I took 108 times bath in Ganga. Otherwise, I wouldn't have dared to take 108 times bath in Ganga. So what was this? This was his attitude. Things will go wrong. You cannot change the environment around you. But you can change something within. You can change yourself. A good attitude means three things. You respect, you appreciate, and you share. You respect every life. That means you cannot do meat eating because you respect life. You appreciate everyone and you learn to say thank you to everyone. The first person being your mother, you can tell her to thank you. And the third thing is share. Whatever we have, we learn to share with others. This is a good attitude. The third step is we take responsibility for our actions. We have to realize that whatever actions we are performing, we cannot get away with them. Whether it is good or bad. It is said that when the prisoners are asked that what is the main reason you got involved into all these activities, and they will always blame others. They will blame their parents, they will blame teachers or friends or brothers or sisters or uncles and aunties or environment. Very few people has the courage to say, yes, I did it. We have a free will. We have a choice to do activities. We have a free will. All of us have a free will. And we have a choice what to do, what not to do. There are so many passes we distributed for this Chaitanya Amrita, all of you decided to come here. It was your free will. It was your choice. When we take a decision, we also accept the responsibility of the consequences. I read one story of a baker. He was staying in a village and every day he would take the atta and go to the one person and he would bake the atta and give him bread every day. But every day he was saying that he would give 1 kilo atta But he was expecting 1 kilo bread, but it was only 800 grams. So he started complaining. And he complained to the village chief that, he is giving me less amount of bread. I am giving him this much atta, but he is giving me less amount of bread. So they called the baker, that please come. He is arguing like this. He is telling, he is blaming you. Saying, no, what I do is, whatever atta he gives me, I weigh that, and whatever bread is there in comparison to that, I give. One point I put the atta, and the other place I put bread. So what he was doing, what was happening? Actually, this farmer was cheating. He was thinking he is getting less bread, but actually he was only giving less atta. And he was thinking he was very smart. So whatever activities we do, we think we can get away with that. But no. Somehow or other you will get the reaction. In US recently they had asked, CNN poll that how many of you believe in a life after this life? Means you believe in reincarnation. And 70% of people said yes, we believe in reincarnation. And if we believe that we are going to come back to this world, then how much responsible we should be for our actions? Because laws of karma, they say every action has a reaction. If you do a good activity, you get a good reaction. If you get a bad activity, you get a bad reaction. So be responsible for your actions, whatever activities you are doing, because you are going to get a reaction. The next is, have faith in Supreme. The fourth point is, have faith in Supreme. All of you came here either by taxi or by car or by bus or train. Or every day you must be traveling by bus or train, right? Have you ever thought or have you ever asked the driver that has he the proper license? Is there the proper license? You have asked? No. Why? Why? You have faith. You have faith that this train is government train or government bus, then, the driver must be having a proper license. We can give our life into the hand of somebody unknown. We have that faith, we put that faith. Then how much faith we should put in the Supreme Father, who is our all well-wisher. He is always thinking good of us. He always wants to do good things to us. There's a story of a small boy. He didn't have his left hand. And his parents wanted that he learns judo and karate. So when they send him to the master started teaching him step number one. And he started learning that step number one. The other students came. They started going from first step to second step, third step, fourth step. But this boy was always learning step number one. The master was not teaching him the step number two, step number three. And he was wondering, why is he doing like that? But he had faith that master knows what I can learn. So one day there was a national level championship. So the master chose this boy out of all the boys. He said, you will go for that. Saying, I know only step number one, nothing else. And I don't even have a left hand. Saying, no. You go, you will win. You will win the gold medal and come. And this boy had full faith in the master and he went. He won the semi-finals, he won the finals, and he got a gold medal. And he came back and he asked the master, Master, I had full faith in you, that's why I went. But tell me, how did this happen? He said, the step number one which I had taught you, if somebody had to defend you, what they had to do? They had to catch your left hand and turn you around. But whenever they wanted to do that, you didn't have a left hand. So they couldn't do it. Because this boy had that faith in the master, he could win. He would have thought that, why master is telling me like that, I'm not going to win. Similarly, all of us know that we should have faith in God, but still we hesitate. Tell me, you hesitate or no? Yes? I'm thinking he will help me, but whether he will help me, he is there, he is not there. But when we put our faith in the Supreme Father, He will make us cross this life very, very peacefully and nicely. When my daughter wants to cross the road, she immediately holds my hand or my father's, her father's hand. And she sees. Immediately she has no tension on her head. Because she has full faith that my mother or my father is looking after me. Similarly, if we have that faith in Lord, then we can easily go through any struggle of this life. The next point is having right type of association. You are what you associate with. If you put a rotten mango in a basket full of good mangoes, what will happen? All the mangoes will become spoiled. So if you have the same, if in all the parents want that the children become friends of people who are number one and number two rankers in the class. Why? Because they know that other children will also start getting good marks. We know the famous story of Valmiki. Valmiki was a, who was he? Let me check whether you all know this or no. Robber, thief, and he, whom did he meet? Narad Muni. And Narad Muni was trying to tell him that what are you doing? You are killing so many people. He asked, just find out whether for whom you are doing this thing, for my family. Is your family going to share this sin? And he went and asked, saying, no, they are not going to share the sin. Then he asked him, okay, now if you want to come out of it, you start chanting Ram Ram. But he couldn't even chant Ram. So what Narad Muni told him, that you start chanting Mara 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 Mara. And then he started chanting and he became such a wonderful sage that he has written Ramayana. And till today, we are reading the Ramayana. How many people write the novels which people read even after generations? No novels. But this, still we are reading. Even A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who is the founder acharya of our society, he has changed so many people's lives. So many people's lives. Just in his association, people have given up very, very big, big wrong habits which they couldn't even think of living. I remember one of our leaders is Shyam Sundar Prabhu and he was carving Jagannath Baldev Subhadra DT. He had a chisel in one hand and cigarette in another hand. And he had kept the cigarette on the head of Jagannath. When Prabhupada came, he saw this, but just see this association of Srila Prabhupada. What did he say? He shouted at him, that what are you doing? He didn't give the reaction like you. What did he say? Don't allow that small cigarette between you and Jagannath. And from that day onward, he stopped smoking. There was another in recent time, in Los Angeles. There was a big time drug dealer. And he was involved in lot of criminal things. And police was after him. Somehow or other, police was after him. Running, he entered the Los Angeles temple. And he thought this is the best place to hide. So he shaved up. He started dancing. When the police came, police couldn't recognize him. And it's a real story. It's a real story. And then he started staying in the ashram. And ashram rules are very strict. You have to get up 3:30 early in the morning, take a cold water bath, attend Mangala Arati. Then chant, then eat only prasad. And he started doing that. And after 1 year, he himself went to the police station and he told that I am so and so and please arrest me. It had brought a change in his life. Please arrest me. So they couldn't recognize, they had pictures everywhere, but they think it was not matching. Then they took him to the judge. And the judge wrote a judgment that he is released. Saying why? Why is he released? For all so many crimes which he has done. He's saying, why do we keep people in the prison? For reformation. That people should change. Here he is already reformed. And the type of life he is living is much more stricter than what he will live in a jail. So better, he is released. So association can bring miracles. So have right type of association, people who can help you to elevate your consciousness. Not like that drama. Take you to disco, I give you the habit of smoking. Be intelligent. And the last and most important point is reprogram your mind. We saw in the entire drama that how the mind is constantly troubling us. Even we start actually thinking that we are our mind. Right? All of us are constantly identifying ourselves with the mind. To reprogram our mind is very, very important. Because however successful we are, however wealthy we are, if we don't control our mind, we will somehow or other get into a lot of wrong habits. We have seen, all of you know about Arjun. Yes? Arjun, as we have IIT, MIT, Arjun had passed out from Dronacharya Institute of Technology. And he was a gold medalist. Right? He had 100% success rate. Whenever he went to fight, he would win. And he had 100% promotion. Why? Because he was named Dhananjay. He would get wealth from wherever. He would go and he would collect the wealth. And he was married to Miss Universe Draupadi. Everything best in his life he had. Everything best. He had nice brothers. But at the time of battle at Kurukshetra, he was bewildered. He didn't want to fight. He started shivering, started trembling. His Gandiva. Nowadays people have laptop to work. Here did Gandiva to work. Every day's business was to go out and fight and come back. So his Gandiva was, he fell down from his hand. And at that time, he took shelter of Krishna. Why this happened? He was such a successful person. Why this should have happened? He only decided to fight. If you see Mahabharata, if you read Mahabharata, it was Pandavas who decided that we want to have a war. Not Kauravas. It is Pandavas who wanted to have a war. He wanted to have a war. And now the time of fighting has come. Why is he shaking up? Why is he so frustrated? Why is he so depressed? Because his mind was troubling him. His mind was not under his control. And at that point of time, Lord Shri Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. And taught him that how chanchalam hi mana Krishna. Mind is very, very chanchal. It is more difficult to control than raging wind. Last year we had heard that different cyclones were coming in US. And what the mightiest government in the world, US, what did they do? Just vacate the place. We cannot do anything else. Just vacate that place wherever the cyclone is coming. You cannot do anything. You cannot control wind. And mind is more powerful than wind. You may be sitting here with me, but your mind can be on moon planet. Right? Mind is more powerful than even wind. So how do you control your mind? You control your mind by intelligence. And how do you control with intelligence? By sharpening your intelligence every day. And how do you sharpen your intelligence? By mantra meditation and prayers. Mantra. Mantra means man ko jo tarne wala. Man ko jo control karne wala. Mantra has so much power that it can control your mind. It can change your life. It can make many, it can get big happinesses in your life. Mantra has so much power. The subtle energy is more powerful than the gross energy. And the Brahmastra was a subtle nuclear weapon. Only by the mantra they would shot the arrow. That was so powerful. So mantra is very, very powerful. And here in the society we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Let me end today's lecture by telling a wonderful story which is connected to one of our recent acharyas of ISKCON, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. And today is his disappearance day. This has happened in Fiji a few years back. I think it was around 1972 or something, where Tamal Krishna Maharaj had opened a Hare Krishna temple And he had a neighbor who was Indian, who was a lawyer. And every day he was getting very disturbed. Because right in the morning the programs would start and it was disturbing him. Because all the speakers were pointed outside. So he was very disturbed. And he was a pakka Shiva devotee. And he was a lawyer. So he went and complained. He lodged a complaint. And every day different people were coming and harassing the temple devotees. And even Tamal Krishna Maharaj had to go many times to the court. So this person was every day reading Shiv Puran. So one day he was reading Shiv Puran and he came across a verse where it said that your guru can come in any form. It can come in the form of your enemy also. So this sentence really struck him. And that day only happened to be a lecture of Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj in a big hall. So he decided that let me go and listen to his lecture. So when he went to listen to the lecture, all the disciples of Tamal Krishna Maharaj didn't allow him to enter. He said, you know, again he will go and argue. He said, no, I want to listen. He said, no, you sit outside. But he was so sincere, he sat outside and he heard the lecture. He came back home and he says later on that he had a dream. In the dream, Lord Shiva came to him and told him that actually he is your spiritual master. So next day he went and he met Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. And he started asking him and arguing with him. And Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj is a very, very powerful leader. He will not tolerate any nonsense. So he told him, okay, I am telling you one thing. You chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra for 1 month and I guarantee you, it will change your life. Every day you chant for 10 minutes, it will change your life. If it changes your life, you take away all the court cases. And if it doesn't change your life, I will shift the temple. And what happened? He is the present temple president of that temple. So, that power Hare Krishna Mahamantra has. So the best thing today, message you can take from here, improving the landscape of your life is, at least start chanting for 10 minutes. See for 1 month what changes it is bringing in your life. And meet you next time. Hare Krishna. If you all have any questions, you can ask. Here's a question.
Please.
You want to introduce guests?
Thank you so much for your wonderful, wonderful lecture. But I have this question that whenever we come and hear class here and we are very, very inspired and we really want to change our landscape of our life. But as soon as we go out, it all fizzles down. So, what are your suggestions?
My suggestion is you keep coming every month and keep having right kind of association. Because what is affecting you outside here, when you are an association of everyone, you are convinced that I want to do something. But when you go out, immediately you are bombarded with the material energy and your association changes. But still, if you have the right kind of association and if you keep the desire that I want to change, Lord Krishna will definitely help you.
Hare Krishna, ma'am. Ma'am, I've been hunting for this answer since a long time. It's very difficult to find a good company. Once you start believing in company, you have faith in them. But some things happen that you lose trust on them. How to maintain that trust and how to find this company?
Yes, very good question. That how to find right type of company and right type of friends. It is very difficult in this world to find people whom you can actually trust. The people whom you can trust are those who believe in God and who follow on the path of spirituality. Because when they have the foundation based on his part and parcel of God, he will not try to cheat you, because he understands that you are also part and parcel of God. And if you want that right company, here we have so many friends. So many friends you can find here. And you can, believe me, you can trust them. And the person who asked you the question, the previous question, she is my friend. And both of us came in this temple in 1989. Then we were in first year of medicine in KM hospital. And till today we have good company. We give good company to each other. We are best of friends. In KM, before becoming devotees, we were not so good friends. But after joining ISKCON, we are the best of friends. So you will, if you find here, you will definitely get best of friends. And you can trust them. Yes. It is explained by Rupa Goswami that the faith, the Shraddha, it has three stages. The first stage is Komal, where it is very soft. And where it can be immediately changed by other people. But if you keep practicing the spirituality in right association, reading scriptures, getting more knowledge. And knowledge eliminates fear. You are just a beginner. Even we were the beginners, even we were facing the same problem. But after 19 years, remaining in this process, practicing this process sincerely, I am sitting here and answering your question. So if you practice this in right association, with right mood, your faith will start becoming stronger and more firm. And then you reach a faith where nobody can shake you up. You will convince others. So you need to practice. You need to spend some more time. But don't get bewildered. Because in this world, there are always people. When, as I mentioned, one thing I didn't mention about the change is, when you are trying to change, there will be 80% of the people or 85% of the people who will try to pull you away from what you want to do. But very few people, one or two people will be there who will try to support you. So today, you go home and you write what changes you want. You keep it in a locker, safe place. And you take that sheet out after 10 years. And you see whether you brought that change or no. Okay? I don't know how much time we have. Just two questions I have. In the lecture you mentioned that we have faith, but most of the time we feel no confident about it. So what can we do to overcome this? How can we be faithful in any situation that comes in our life? As the same answer as the previous one, by practicing it. Rupa Goswami explains, he is one of the six Goswamis and very, very learned scholar who has written many books, that your faith will become stronger and stronger by right association. As like, suppose example, a person who has jaundice. And what is the treatment of jaundice? To take glucose. You eat sugarcane. When a person who has jaundice eats sugarcane, what happens? It's bitter, he doesn't get any taste. But does he stop? No. The doctor will say, keep on eating. One day you will get the taste. And as the glucose will work on the liver, it will give rest to the liver, and slowly, slowly the jaundice will go out, person will become normal, and then he will be able to taste the sugar cane. So have that faith of practicing. As you said in last, to reprogram your mind, we have to chant. But while chanting only, if our mind disturbs us by other thoughts, then how to concentrate on Mahamantra? And that's why next week we are having a japa retreat. On 11, 12, 13th year, yeah, right? Yeah. 10, 11, 12. We are having in the evening how to chant good rounds. And that itself will become a very big lecture. But definitely it's a struggle. When a small child is learning to walk, how many times he falls? But does he stop walking? No. Every time he falls, he gets up. And one day, he starts walking. Similarly, every time your mind disturbs you, bring it back. And one day you will learn to chant good rounds. Actually, we are getting late because many have to go also. So
thank you very much, Mataji, for enlightening us with your wonderful insights on life and improving the landscape of our life. She has given us such wonderful tips, which I'm sure are very, very practical and which can be applied immediately. So I thank all of you for giving such a patient hearing and for asking such interesting questions. And today, on the occasion of